Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And
when I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested, and all thumbs up.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Recovery Rocks. It is Tawny and my fabulous co-host,
Lisa. Hello.
Hello, my love. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited, actually, because we have an amazing guest, our friend Ken McKimsey Middleton. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for making the time for me today. Super excited to talk to you and Lisa.
Reporting
Thanks
live from
for joining us. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for joining us from Atlanta.
Yep. It's 60 degrees here. So weather is nice for it to be February.
Well, and so I'm in New York. You're in Atlanta. Lisa's in the San Diego area. So you guys definitely have me beat on weather.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
Lisa has all of us beat.
Yes, she really does. I'm going to read your bio just to let our listeners know a little bit more about you. And then we're just going to dive in. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. So Ken is obsessed with helping people build the best versions of themselves. Ever since he experienced a tremendous turnaround from an entrepreneurial endeavor when he gave up alcohol on November 30th, 2018. Congratulations, by the way.
Congrats.
Thank you.
His mission has been to help others realize that alcohol is probably the one thing holding them back from realizing all of their dreams. He started the Medium publication, Alcohol is Not Your Friend, also known as AINYF, in May of 2020. What a year to start something.
No doubt. A lot of free time on my hands there.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Right.
I get it. So he started the publication in May of 2020 for this very reason. And he even wrote a book called Bamboozled, How Alcohol Lies to Us All. And you guys, like, we're going to have the links to all of this in our show notes. But at the very least, you have to take a look at the cover of this book. It's pretty iconic. And, you know, I'm a writer who loves wordplay. So we love what the graphic designer did with booze. Like, it's great. Really well done. So, Ken, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tawny. Appreciate that.
I connect with a lot of your story. I got sober in November of 2015.
Okay.
And for me, it was very similar to what you're talking about. I realized alcohol was standing in the way of me living my best life. You know, I was sitting in a pub talking about how I don't have time to write. And then it finally clicked. Maybe there's something there. I started a blog called sobrietyparty.com. And I just, if you want to read some really cringeworthy early sobriety blog posts, they're all there. I wanted to touch on that. Tell us a little bit more about your story. And also just, I love that you're just wanting to help people be the best versions of themselves.
I mean, your story, Tawny, is so much like mine. It's eerie, like 100% in the sense that for me, it was around fortuitously, I had left my company and it was around my failure that allowed me to then change the way I was doing things that could then lead to my success. So what happened was in 2017, I left my former company. I'd been in sales for 13 years at the time. Staffing company, and I thought I was going to start my own staffing company. So I left in 2017. And I say, all right, let's do this thing, all excited, gung ho to make things happen. A year goes by and I'm looking at my bank account and I'm thinking, well, I was excited when I started. I'm not as excited now because it was a lot of work. Like you ladies probably know in the sense that when you're an entrepreneur, you're everything. You're the marketer. You're the HR person. You're the accountant. You're everything. So I'm working 80 or 90 hours per week. And I was not making money that made it seem like I was working that amount of time. And so at that point in 2018, I just looked in the mirror and I said, all right, I might have to go back to corporate America. But if I go back to corporate America, I want to be able to look myself in the eye and say I unequivocally gave it 100%. And I knew at the time, and we all know that alcohol, when we're recovering from a hangover, we're not at 100%. Like I often had this saying of, well, my 80 or 70% is worth most people 100%. I don't know if that's true or not, but I will tell you that I wasn't getting it done when I was drinking. So I said,
we all tell ourselves things, Ken.
Of course we do.
I get it.
And so I said, well, listen, I don't want to go back before I made the decision. And I told my wife, it was my then girlfriend, now wife at the time, about that. And she said, sure, let's do it together. I was very fortunate. And I said, all right, let me try this out for 3 months and see what happens. And Lisa and Tani, I made more money in those next 3 months than I had made in the previous 9 months of the year. And I was like, holy shit, like there is something here. I need to explore it. And I tell my story is, or my philosophy or my message is a little different because I didn't hit rock bottom. My life wasn't terrible. I tell people the reason I had to give up alcohol because alcohol was too amazing for me. Like my life was too good with alcohol that it was leading me honestly to a point in which it was going to be really bad because there wasn't like I was doing fairly well for myself. But when I decided to take it away, I had no idea of how much better I could do for myself and how much better my life could be. And for me, when ANF started, when I decided to create the Medium publication and start writing about it, it was really to educate everyone on the things that I wish I had known. For me in high school and in college, and I think for a lot of us, there's typically two stratifications in regards or two dichotomies in regards to the stratification of drinking. It's either you drink and you have no problem with drinking or you're an alcoholic. That's it. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about that long gray area in between and the spectrum that we're all on and how every time we drink, even if you don't have a quote unquote problem, you are making a trade-off when you decide to drink. And that was why I started ANF and wrote Bamboozle, because I just want to educate people on what the trade-off is they're making. And then you decide what you want to do. If you want to drink, I don't have a problem with it. Drinking is fine. I lived 38 years of my life amazing because of alcohol, partially because of alcohol. But my life is so much better now without it. And I didn't recognize what I was giving up because of it. And I just want everyone to understand what those trade-offs are.
So you got sober at 30.
38.
38.
Me
okay.
too. Yeah. 38. Yeah,
it's a good age. It's a good year. Yeah. Good year.
Yeah, our stories are very similar. My blog, the whole plan was like, I'm just going to give up alcohol for a year and I'm just going to see what happens. And spoiler alert, seven plus years, wrote a book. We have a podcast, like freelance writing career, like that, you know, sitting there drinking in the pub saying I don't have time to write. I was correct. Finally, I was correct. As soon as I removed alcohol from the equation, my career, my health, my life, my relationships. I mean, it got significantly better. And that's not to gloss over the really, really difficult stuff because recovery is hard. Like it is really hard and some really uncomfortable stuff comes up, especially early on. But that's why we say one day at a time and lean into peer support.
No doubt. Yeah. For me, it just really to your point about how many things got better. It was like the beginning for me, Tani and Lisa, of recognizing all the things that I really need to focus on. So, and I tell people this all the time, and I think you alluded to it to the sense of there were some dark times. Alcohol doesn't solve all your problems. It sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth when I say that. And when people hear that, because I'm like, oh, give up alcohol and you can be your best self and your life is going to be amazing, which is true. But it's not like a linear line where everything is amazing. Like there are going to be some times in which you have to deal with your stuff, because what alcohol was for a lot of people and what it was for me was the crutch. It was a thing of, instead of facing the problem, instead of coming up and emotionally having to deal with the uncomfortable situation, I just drink a beer or a glass of wine or a Ciroc vodka, which was my favorite back in the day. And I don't have to worry about it, right? I go in a situation and I'm a little anxious. I meet people I don't know and I feel weird and I don't know. Like, instead of just getting over it, I just drink some alcohol and it takes me down and I'm comfortable. So when you stop drinking, of course, you're going to have to figure that out on your own and have to deal with it. But I tell people, by giving up drinking, you then give yourself the emotional fortitude and the maturity to deal with those issues. And once you deal with those issues, the person you become on the other side cannot even hold a candle to, or the person you become, can't, the old version can't hold a candle to the new version of yourself once you give up alcohol and you get through that tough time.
Yeah. That reminds me, it makes me think of, my book describes me this way, and I was always thought of as high functioning, right? Because I never missed a meeting. I worked a lot from home, but I could. No one ever, you know, there was nothing outwardly wrong. I mean, I think I would have been looked at a lot harder if I hadn't been doing well with my job. But the truth is, when we talk about high functioning and no, alcohol helps me in my job and all that, it's really a myth, because first of all, you're high functioning until exactly the day you're not, right?
Right.
When you have a DUI, when you, for me in the legal profession, miss a court date, make a mistake on a filing. But also, you know, I was doing just fine and I got a nice raise and bonus from my firm the month before I checked myself into detox. But, you know, I was functioning at a job that was well below what my actual potential was. When I got sober 10 months later, I was able to take a job that was, you know, at least like two levels above what I had been doing. You know, so you may be like, oh, no, it helps me. It really, it helps me blow off steam. And it, you know, I have to be social with others at work. So I have to drink. Everybody's drinking. Like that's, and I'm just a high functioning drinker, that there's not really such a thing.
Right, right. I mean, it is interesting, especially, so you're, from a professional standpoint, I was in sales. So I tell people,
so that's right?
Yeah, you know, right? So I tell people all the time, because college, I talk about this in the book, I talk about how we're socially engineered from a very young age to drink. And one of the environments that does that more than anything is college. Like college, let's be for real. If you ever been in college, if you don't drink alcohol, it almost is like you're the outcast. Like that's just the reality of it. And it says it's normal. If you think college is your introduction to drinking as a socially engineered process, think about in sales. It's like the master's degree of drinking, because it, to your point, Lisa, it's like, it's part of my job. I'm out schmoozing my clients. I got a corporate expense account. It's what's expected to me. And so for me, I'm looking at my peers and I'm looking at the people who are my role models or my mentors, and it's all relative. My drinking was not more than theirs. Like they were drinking as much as I was or more. So when I thought about, do I have a problem? No, I don't have a problem, because look at these guys. They're making X amount of money and their success from their VP. So if they can do it, I can do it. But what I didn't recognize, Lisa, is what you said, is that my potential, I wasn't hitting that potential. I call alcohol the great governor of life. And what I mean by that is a governor like on a vehicle, like on a UPS car or a school bus, you know, they can only go 55, 60 miles per hour, right? Because they have a governor that regulates the speed. That's what alcohol does to you. You have a higher level that you can achieve, and alcohol keeps you right here. And even though that might be okay, it's not who you can be. And that's what I tell people. Right. Long as you recognize that you are holding putting a ceiling on yourself from drinking, then drink. But if you say you want to be the best version of yourself, you want to be the best person you can possibly be, you need to give this alcohol consciousness or not drinking alcohol a chance. And you could see a person you can become that would amaze the person that you are today.
Yeah. And like, that's why I think sometimes things like dry January or sober October can be such an eye opener for people, because they may be like, yeah, I didn't need to go into treatment. I wasn't like, you know, on one of, I, like you said, the you don't drink or you're, you know, you're an alcoholic.
Alcoholic.
You're not But people can see even, you know, moderate drinkers or people who drink very little, when you take it out of your life for a month, what a difference it is.
Makes a big difference. Functional subtype.
I really appreciate y'all talking about the professional angle, because my whole drinking career, I was a bartender. So I was a bartender who, it took me 10 years to get through college because I partied. I was so good at my job, you guys.
It was probably an amazing 10 years though, Tani. I would love to hear some stories.
Ken, there's a lot of stories. That's in the second book. Yes. I was surrounded by fellow bartenders and servers, and like, you know, you're drinking at work, then you get off work and then you go to the bar, and then if you have a night off, then you go visit your friend who works at the other bar. And that was my whole life, and that was my whole friend group. And alcohol 100% kept me from reaching my potential that you two are speaking about. Like, once I, you know, got out of my hometown, I stopped working in the restaurant industry, stopped bartending, and I started getting involved in, you know, this is even before I quit drinking, but I got a different job. I started going to yoga and, you know, doing things, connecting with people just because we had something healthy in common. Like, it didn't really matter that they were sober or not. It's just, we have something to do other than going to get drinks. And that was a revelation for me. I didn't know you could socialize without alcohol. It took me a couple years to eventually quit drinking, but, you know, like I said, I was about to turn 30. I decided to give up alcohol for a year to see if that's what's holding my writing career back.
Awesome.
Yeah, 100%. That's what it was. And like, I don't know if I ever could have gotten sober if I stayed in that bartending scene in my hometown.
Yeah. I tell people, and I wrote an article about this, alcohol is interesting because it just makes life like Groundhog Day. Like the movie with Bill Murray, you don't realize it until you get out of it. And then you look back and you're like, holy shit, I did the same thing in the same pattern every day or every week. And it's almost like you're on this hamster wheel and you think you're progressing, you think you're doing something, but you're just consistently kind of going and being in the same place. My wife and I, we always joke about the fact that we love travel. And now she's, like I said, she stopped drinking the same time I did. When we look back on the travel we did before we stopped drinking to the travel we do now, it's like two totally different scenarios. Because before, when you stopped drinking, what we did was we would go to a new city, we'll find a bar, we'll find a pool table, a bar with a pool table and a jukebox, and we would just drink and play music and play pool. It didn't matter what city we were in. We were doing the same thing.
Same.
That was just how alcohol puts you in these routines. And I tell people this all the time. I honestly, ladies, don't think I truly grew up until I stopped drinking. In the sense of, there was a level of maturity that I never took that turn. That it's almost like they talk about Malcolm Gladwell's inflection point, in which you really start, when I say reaching your full potential, like really focusing on the future. And until I stopped drinking, I never really hit that maturity level that took me to, like, how do I truly take my future seriously 100% of the time? And that what giving up drinking allowed me to do.
Absolutely.
That's the testimony right there.
Yeah. I'm telling you. And so, yeah, that's why I wrote the book, right? So for me, it's all about science-based information. So to give you ladies a sense of how the book flows, the book is written pretty much in four parts, right? Four questions, if you will. The first part is, why do you do it, right? Why do we drink? So what I do in that part of the book is that I walk through all of the history of alcohol. I'll walk through how all the ways we're socially engineered, from when we're kids to when we get older to we go to college. I talk about Hollywood and how Hollywood makes it seem like everyone in the world drinks all the time and have no negative repercussions as a result of it, which is not the truth. And how you have to break that cycle from happening. And then once we talk about why you do it, the next question is like, all right, so why do you have to gain by giving up? And we talked, Tani, as you mentioned, relationships, finances, career, exercise, fitness, everything gets better. And we walk through those things of how things get better. And then the third part is like, how do you do it? So we walk from, all right, why do you have to gain by giving it up? Now, how do you do it? And we walk through this concept that I call the MEDS, M-E-D-S, which stands for M for mechanical engineering, E for exercise commitment, because there's a connection between exercise and actually reducing cravings and having something to do with all that free time you get when you stop drinking. Diet improvement, because if you're going to exercise, you wanted your diet to be better too, because else you won't see the results of your exercise. And then S stands for success seeking. That's the last part. And for me, that's the most important point. And Tanya, it kind of hit on what you said your change was. And Lisa, you talked about your improvement of your levels of getting the new job. Because for me, when you give up drinking, you've given yourself a great gift. And if you don't do anything with that gift, but sit and watch Netflix all day, nothing wrong with doing it, but you're wasting the gift you're giving yourself. You have the ability to do some amazing things because you're no longer holding your neurotransmitters from clicking at the much greater rate. Since you now have given yourself the ability to think quicker, to learn faster, to do things more amazingly, why not take advantage of it and really push yourself to accomplish something amazing? And I tell people, if you want a reason never to go back to drinking, create a goal that you know you're pre-drinking. And I use the word alcohol conscious as a derivative of health conscious, like your pre-alcohol conscious self would have never been able to do, because by giving yourself a goal that you know your former self would have never been able to accomplish, you will give yourself the impetus to say, hey, I could go back to drinking and my life might be okay, but there's no way I could do all this amazing stuff I'm doing now. And I'm not going to give that up to go back to what I was before. So MEDS is the meds, is the way to quit. And then the last one is like, all right, so what are you going to do? Like, you got all the information, you know what you're giving up, you know what you're trading off. So red pill, blue pill, which one are you going to choose? So
yeah,
it's kind of the book flows.
Nice.
I mean, and it's one of those things where once you learn what alcohol really is, what it does to your body, your mind, your relationships, your job, like once you realize how pervasive and insidious it really is, you can't unlearn it.
Mm-mm.
It's really just the thought of drinking at this point in my life makes absolutely no sense.
It has nothing to offer you.
It doesn't bring anything to the table.
It doesn't bring anything to the table. And, you know, quick plug. This is why I love the non-alcoholic drink community so much. Mm-hmm. I talk a lot about, you know, if I am craving a beer, I have a non-alcoholic beer, and that is a big part of my sobriety toolkit. So, you know, again, that really wasn't an option back then either. No. It was either you're an alcoholic who goes to AA or you're fine. Now, you know, there's a lot of gray area. I think sober curiosity has really given people language, and the drinks. And also, Ken, are you a motivational speaker, by the way?
I'm not, but I do love to like get people fired up, and
you should be.
I do enjoy it, you know, I really do, but I'm not, I don't know. It's funny because people ask me like, oh, when you write the books, are you going to do a speaking tour? And I'm like, no, that does not excite me at all. I have no desire. It just isn't. I love talking about it though, because like I said, yeah, man, people just don't realize who they are inside of them if they're willing to give this a shot, you know? So I just get excited about the topic in general.
Your excitement gets me more excited.
Yeah.
You know, like is there an audiobook component?
Yeah, we're going to do one. We got to see if it sells any books first. So once it comes out, hopefully it sells some books. And then once we get a good amount of selling, yeah, definitely we're going to do the audiobook.
Because like, I want to hear you read the book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. I'd love to do that. So,
Lisa, I cut you off. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I love the way that the whole approach is just not preachy, not anything. It's just informational. You know, here's the information. I'm not telling you a choice to make. There's no right or wrong here. Just, I mean, I think really helping people be more informed, so they can make their own decisions and, you know, not having like a right or way, or you must do that, you must do this. But here for, you know, here's meds, which you can kind of walk through, that covers all the terrain, is really cool. I think it's going to help a lot of people.
Because my thing is, like, I sobriety is fine. But I tell people, and I'm always straight up about this, I don't use the term sobriety. And I say that because oftentimes when you say sobriety, people automatically connect that with, like, hardcore addiction or some rock bottom, which, right. Listen, that's important. And there are people that need AA and things of that nature. But for me, and I start the book off in this manner, if you have a hardcore addiction to alcohol, I am not the best resource for you because that is not my world. I'm not a sober coach. That's not me. I am a wellness advocate. That's what I am. I love that. You want to be the best version of yourself, and I use the term alcohol conscious because it's like health conscious. Like, because you don't eat fried chicken, and I don't know who wrote this the other day, we were talking about the concept of, like, no one would call you a smokeaholic if you didn't smoke cigarettes, right? So why do you have to be an alcoholic if you don't drink, right? I was like, yeah, that's true. But health conscious, if you don't eat fried chicken, no one's calling you a fried chickenaholic. You just recognize it. You can't right. be healthy eating fried chicken every day, right? So for me, to your point, Lisa, I'm not trying to preach to anybody. If you want to drink, that is okay. But understand, you will not ever be who you could possibly be.
Right.
If you decide to keep that in your life, you won't have the, just like you won't ever be your best self health wise if you eat fried chicken every day. It just doesn't compute. There's no way for you to rectify those two things or reconcile those two things. So you got to make a decision of which one you want, the best version of yourself or the fun, quote unquote, fun that alcohol gives you in the moment. No preaching, just education, and then you make the decision yourself.
Well, now I just really want fried chicken.
Which is nothing wrong with fried chicken every now and then. I will tell you.
We just got an air fryer and we've made wings in there for the first time. And ooh, it is a total game changer.
Yes.
So maybe that'll be our next podcast. It's about air fryers. But so Ken, we're wrapping up. You're on Recovery Rocks, so we're going to end with the music minute. Is there a song that maybe you're obsessed with right now or means something to your recovery? Anything you want to share?
Yeah, you know, I thought about all the songs I can share. There's a few I'm obsessed with, like Uzi Vert, I Just Want to Rock. Like, if that song has taken over the world, but that is not my recovery song. I share with you, Tani, I think the Eminem song, Lose Yourself, you get one shot. And I just say that about life, right? Like, there's no mulligans here. You got one. We got one of these. You got one body. You got to take care of it. If you want to be that version of yourself, you want to absolutely see where you can go in life. Give yourself a chance by not drinking. Give yourself a chance. And I promise you, if you really give it a shot, I typically say 90 days, man, you'll be amazed at what you can become and who you can be. So I'll take that. Eminem.
That's perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Ken. Thank you for hanging out with us today.
Yes. I learned
so much from just this 25-minute conversation. So I know our listeners will too. We're going to have links to everything in the show notes, but just for people that are just listening, what's your Instagram handle and remind them the name of the book?
Yes, the Bamboozle. So the book is called Bamboozle, How Alcohol Makes Fools of Us All. I think I actually miswrote it in my bio there, so I apologize. But Bamboozle, How Alcohol Makes Fools of Us All is the book. You can get on my mailing list to get all the information when it actually is available at thebamboozlebook.com. So the digital version should be coming out in mid to late March. The actual physical version will come out in August of this year. So super excited about it. Instagram, you can find me, KenMMiddleton.com. Twitter, KenMMiddleton.com. And if anybody wants to see me an email, because I'm actually taking members to be on my launch team right now, and I'm always open to anyone that wants to get an advanced copy and be on that team to give those amazing 5-star reviews, just email me at Ken@KenMMiddleton.com. So Ken@KenMMiddleton.com. And then, of course, my personal website is kenandmiddleton.com as well.
So the Bamboozled comes out in August.
Yes, the physical copy, but the digital copy should be out in March, actually.
Okay.
Earlier, is what we're thinking.
Perfect. That's so exciting. And if there's anything Lisa and I can do, you know, to help, let us know.
Yeah.
You know, quick plug, Lisa's book, Girl Walks Out of a Bar, is incredible. And then... my book comes out in September. So
dry humping. I'm excited. I'm all about that, man. That's good stuff right there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
That's going to be
it's fantastic. I can say it's fantastic because I know.
I love it. I love it. I love that
title. She was there. The book writing process is a process, and she was holding my hand and there for it. It was hard, but we did it. We did all of these things because we quit drinking. So
yes,
Ken, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
No problem. Thank you, ladies. Thanks for having me. Had a great time.
All right. Thanks. And everyone have a good rest of your week. Take care.
Take care. Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.